Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So, we want to continue what we're talking about in the first service. Let us cross on to the other side. Some of you look like a lot is happening to you on your journey to the other side. You really look like they are decking you. They are really, I'm using a barrack word. I don't know whether people know it out here. Say, deck that guy. They deck your head. You know what that means? They are beating you up. Satan is really dealing with you. I mean, some of you truly look like that. Some of you look very exhausted. You are more like, I've had it enough, Satan. I'm tired. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory. But not under this atmosphere. It's not possible. It's not possible. You know, yesterday at the tail of the service, while we were about to go home, the Lord gave me a word for a young man. I'm sure some of you did not observe that. I was talking with a young man at the tail of the service, and I was saying to him at the point that, you know, there was a time I was like you, and when I see people doing this, I'll be like, oh, what the heck are they doing? Can I remember? Yes, what? They ran to meet me with a young man of the church, and he told me that he was an atheist. And, you know, the lady brought him to me and said, sir, he's an atheist, he doesn't believe in God. I said, really? Now, I was just talking casually. Now, you look like you don't care about whatever we're doing here. And after the word, he said, I want to go and see that prophet. I think in the middle of the night, he messaged me how he was really touched and blah, 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 blah. I mean, don't take it so seriously. Preach to them. All right? A lot of them have had situations that is making them doubt the existence of God. If you check vividly, some of them really had disturbing issues. Alright? Take for instance, you have a brother that died. Okay, your best friend. Your brother is your best friend. Maybe a junior elder brother. And one time he died. You'll be wondering if God is real. Especially when you join and prayed, Rosary. Sorry, when you join and prayed for your brother. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You'll be wondering if God is real. They don't understand what I'm saying. You'll be wondering whether God is real. But that's not how to pray. There's a right way to pray. And that's why Jesus said, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus taught them, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will be done. He taught them. Give them a syllabus for prayer. That's not prayer. If you pray that, Satan will hit you. You wake up in the morning, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, primary school and secondary school, even the Muslims, you see them, you know, those days the Muslims like this last part I did, as it is in heaven. We too pray their own, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ir-rajim, bismillahi ar-rahman ar-rahim. Do people know it? Maliki yawmiddin. Latifa understands me very well. She used to be in that rep. Hallelujah to Jesus. So they will pray our prayer. We will pray their prayer. You know, people wake up some morning and they're like, our Father. Say our Father three times. And the other one two times. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Amen. 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 Satan will still deck you. Because that's not prayer. It's supposed to be a format of what? Prayer. Meaning God is saying, when you are praying, acknowledge in your prayer, acknowledge that God is your Father. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You must learn it. Pray with the consciousness that God. If you are praying like God is just a mere God, your prayer will not carry weight. You must pray knowing that He will hear you, because He's your Father. It is that understanding of the Father of God that will enrich your mind with so much belief and faith. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Make sure you understand, you know, why you are praying. Know that God's will is supposed to find expression on the earth. Enforce His will upon the face of the earth, as it is in heaven. Are you listening to me? So probably the way you prayed, the way you understood God was false, and also the way you were praying was false. And that way, your prayer did not produce result, and you felt like God is not real. He is very real. He is your present help in times of... And sometimes you've met people who you heard were one time serious people in their fellowship, in church, and you used to know them as FCS leaders. Have you met people like that? Right now, they are club boys and club girls, and some of them are even writing worldly music, and they are dressed in a very wrong... I mean, you don't understand them again. How many of you have seen people like that before? God has not punished them. It's not a curse that is on their head. What you are seeing is a fruit of ignorance. No matter how somebody acts like he knows what he's doing in sin, he does not know what he's doing. Or he say, let's go to church. He say, I'm not going to go. I used to be like you. I know what you are doing. Shall be fire, they burn you. Blah, 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 blah. I don't do that before. I don't go follow you. They are still ignorant. Because Jesus said to us, if you know me, you will not what? Continue in your sin. No matter what they claim they know, they knew before they fell into sin and fell a prey to the devil. They never knew God. It was just mere activity. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus. You got it, number. I was moving too much. I had to, you know, stay so that he gets what he's looking for. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So don't fall a prey to the devil through the testimony of their lives. Hey, this person was serving God, and now see where the person is. They never knew God. They were more activity conscious than truly spiritual. More like matter. Jesus told matter, one thing is most important. Sit at the master's feet. Some people want to sing for Jesus and dance for Jesus and do choreography for Jesus and even preach for Jesus at the detriment of knowing Jesus. They think that it is more wonderful and more real and more important to work for God than to listen to God. So they don't have time. They sit down for God to school them. They rather want to go all out and, you know, work for God. I mean, like Martha. Martha was going to cook for Jesus, sweating very hard to cook for Jesus. Jesus don't come. Oh yes, stand up, Mary. Stand up. While she was walking, Mary sat down. I was just looking at Jesus, more like these second-born girls, you know, and last-born girls. Have you ever seen a last-born girl before? My goodness, you know, as I'm talking, Precious is just shaking her head. She has a second sister. I hope your second sister doesn't see this service. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, there's a way they are. Hallelujah to Jesus. But in my house is different. The one following me does not like walk like the other one following me. The only difference that makes me like the one following me is that the one following me, when she comes to my house, she'll clean the whole house. She doesn't like walk, but she always clean my house and cook for me. She always wants to give me food to eat. But that one that like walk don't like giving me food too much. So I prefer the one that don't like walk in my own case. Because now I used to give, she will come and go out of her way to. She don't used to ask me, well, Simon, what do you have for food? If she just enter my kitchen, hey, you are suffering, no? She'll start buying everything and arranging food for me. But the other one, she'll clean everywhere well. I say, okay, this is what you need for food. You need this, you need this. I say, oh, say, buy it. Say, give me money, let me go and buy it. And she'll even double the money. I knew her husband was in for it before she got married. I knew it. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, if you had probably had a second daughter or a last girl for a daughter, I mean, you understand what I'm trying to say. You are working so hard and they are so casual. They are watching, what's that movie? That one by 7 p.m., 8 p.m. in Z World. You see them just watching one movie, seasonal movie. And then you don't come watch me. And then come and watch me. Leave me alone. And then mommy says she watched me. Leave me alone. Mommy says you should watch it. Mommy says you are the elder sister. that you should be working so that you know how to take care of your husband's house. As if they will not marry themselves. I say, some of these girls, the way you people are doing, your husband will use koboko and flog you out of his house. They will push you. Who will say amen? Who say amen? I beg. Why are you praying? Why are you praying this kind of prayer? I beg. It's just need to love. Because you repent. But if you don't want them to carry care and flog you out, change now. Mary was, although the laziness of Mary profited the kingdom that day. I'm not saying your laziness will profit you. Just that day. She rather sat down, and I don't think Mary was a lazy woman. She probably chose kind. No, it is hard to really agree that she was not quite lazy. But well, she chose to listen to Jesus. Let's put it like, and that was a good thing. Jesus applauded that. Even though she was lazy, God applauded the fact that she was listening. But Martha was doing the right thing at the wrong time. Jesus is teaching. Why are you moving around? Your pastor is teaching in church. You are going out for ministration. Jesus is talking to you. He's your pastor. This is how God nourishes your life. And while he's preaching, you are going to do backup somewhere. And when they talk, Satan uses those voices and tell you that it's all the work of God. Are you okay? You are a village Christian. All those people talking to you, look at their life and ask them, how are you better than me? You know, some people are speaking from biases and pain and hurt. Some of them, they think church have hurt them, not knowing that the ones that have hurt church. Check most people, especially singers that have broken out from their churches to claim to have an independent ministry. Look at their life now and imagine them if they are still connected to their churches. They would have been 10 times better. I was teaching Pastor Emma one time. I said, look at some of the head whatever in this town. Look, compare them with the ones connected with their churches. We'll not call names. Tell me which ones are better. Which ones are still at the limelight. You are trying to talk that they are trying to paint a wrong picture for a rising generation. And they deceive you into foolishness. You are a local church. We have a local church. You want to have brand, you want to do this, you want to be the Don Jazzy of the Christian world. How's that now? What are you pursuing? Gospel Kingdom Don Jazzy. And that way you plug out from local church. Now you are big finish. You cannot set speaker again. Now you want to set studios. You can't set speaker. You think you have arrived. You are like this. They say, what is the problem? Say, the only problem is that I now have studio. It's not that my shoulders are up. I just have studio. And when pastors talk, they look like a mocking stock. You even bash them. You think you are wise. You know, one time when we talk like this, people feel like we're jealous. Jealous. Jealousy how? Like somebody that said Pastor Chris is jealous of world stars. Those set of people he discarded. He said he was jealous. I didn't know where the person is thinking from. Whether from his brain or from his limbs. I didn't know. Pastor Chris is jealous of somebody. Hallelujah to Jesus. A father always has the right to correct his children. No matter the height they've reached, a father is a father. The day you grow better than me, you should pastor me. Go and start your own church. I can't pastor you. If I cannot talk to you, I'm not your pastor. Are you beginning? I'm trying to explain to you. It's the truth. Don't waste your time. Because whatever you are coming to do here will not even work for you. You'll be hearing people give testimonies and be saying, these things are off frame. It's not true. Because it's not flowing towards your direction. Why? There's a wall of limitation. Pride has caused the wall. Are you listening to me? There's a saying that says, the anointing you do not honor cannot work for you. It's true. I don't know if this generation knows this saying. When we were growing up, it was something we always were telling ourselves. That the anointing you discard, disregard, will never work for you. Because the anointing flows from up to down, not down to up. That's how grace flows. And grace flows down to the humble. If you think you are up, you will not tap into grace. It's only when you are down and you know you are down. That's why the Bible says, do not consider yourself higher than you think you are. It is possible to imagine yourself beyond what you are currently. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's what the Bible told us that. It said, don't imagine yourself beyond how you ought to imagine yourself. Do not. When you see yourself imagining yourself and acting like, you know, you are bigger than what you currently are, the status quo, it is pride. It comes before a fall. That's why the children of Israel did not see the promised land. They had a very stubborn mindset. Moses, who was considered a very meek man, declared Moses' doubt. At the end, Moses busted. He could not maintain the steez of meekness because of human beings. I was teaching pastors yesterday. We couldn't have a physical meeting, so we had a call for a meeting. And I was sharing something with them. So one of them was complaining about his department. He said, sir, these two people have been so people. They are very stubborn. Sometimes they make me want to cry. They make me want to give up. And I said to him, well, don't give up. But if you feel like crying, cry. But why crying? Be interceding for them in the cry. I told him that's how you grow. They will think they are wise. Maybe as I'm saying cry now, they are happy that they will make you cry. Use them to grow Moses. You know, finally God will change them all, but God will use them to sharpen you as a leader. I say, if you give up, then your strength is weak. I told him, lock up yourself. Write their names and say, in the name of Jesus. Call a name. I don't want to mistakenly call a name now before they will say it's them we discussed yesterday in the meeting. Call a name and say, in the name of Jesus, so person, you will change. You will fulfill the will of God for your life. You will happen to your generation. In the name of Jesus, you are hearing what? From henceforth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It will be paining you because this is somebody you were advising and the person was probably acting wrongly. It will pain you. You will now start crying tears of intercession. I said, that is how God will make you strong as a leader. And I asked him a question. I said, do you think we did not pray to God for your sakes? I was scared to tell him we cried to God for your sakes. There are days we are pierced in our heart as pastors. We look up ourselves. Maybe we would have sat down and said, I know who I am. Me, Prophet Simon, somebody of that caliber, where was he? Blah, 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 before God called me. I know who he used to be. Before we walked on him and he became, or she became who they are today. How can they be proud? Why should I consider them? Lord, if you want to strike them, strike them. They are ungrateful bunch of idiots. But no, those words could not come out from my mouth. Because you see, what God does to you as a father of faith over a people is that he makes sure that you begin to see these people as your children. The way he sees them, he will give you the same passion. That no matter what they do, you can't condemn them. No matter what they do, you still have them at the center of your heart. You only wish them the best. You know, one time somebody was checking my phone and he saw people, one or two people who are not in church, their phone saved, their picture saved at my phone. Right? He said, sir, this is so person. I said, yeah. He said, sir, I've seen their picture in your phone. I told us to disconnect from them. I said, yeah, but I'm connected in the spirit. He said, what are you? I said, don't worry, you will understand when Jesus comes. I couldn't even delete the pictures because I knew the intention that God has for these people and the intention I also had for them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it was not easy to say, discard, no. But we kept on praying. Are you listening to me? That's what God does to you as a leader. He will make sure that the people are in your heart, like your children. You know, the Bible spoke about Epaphras. Can you remember Epaphras? The Bible says his job description was praying for people to be mature. That was it. Anytime there's a problem in the church, they'll send names to Epaphras. There's this girl in our church, stubborn. Epaphras will collect names. What is his ministry? He can't really follow them to go and preach. Maybe he preaches, but not everywhere. His ministry is the ministry of intercession for the stubborn saints who Satan wants to take. Epaphras will be laboring. Benjamin is not behaving well. They send the name to Epaphras. What is happening to Benjamin? Benjamin is taking left. Ah, Benjamin, lekotokopo. He will bring Benjamin to become straight. Start thinking straight. Benjamin is missing church. Upafrat will call, come to church, Benjamin. Start coming now. Stand up. Be coming to church. Leg up. He will pluck Benjamin away from Satan's hand and bring him back in the kingdom. That was his job description. While I was praying last night, again, I said to myself, I say, intercession is only for the people that truly love the Lord. Let me tell you something. Every Christian is supposed to be an intercessor. There's not a ministry called intercessory ministry. It's lazy ministries that create that kind of ministry. I say, the intercessor starts rubbish. Everybody has problem. Everybody should be interceding. Are you listening to me? You know, one time I was joking in church. I said, there is nothing like powerhouse of the ministry. If I hear anybody say powerhouse of this ministry. One time I mistakenly came across the prayer team saying they are the powerhouse. I said, which powerhouse are you people? Now that neighbor have taken light, what are you people? I said, stop calling yourself. Just say prayer ministry. Praying ministry. Or what do they call it? Prayer department. And I said, I've taught every department to be a people of prayer. Just that interestingly, that department has more time to pray. So they should be praying for things, a lot of things, and cover more things. But every department should be praying. That is why if you join any department in this church, you must know how to pray. Even the choir, I said they must be praying. Because in intercession, nobody is seeing you. Nobody is hearing what you are saying. You'll be praying for things. Be praying for people. Nobody can appreciate you. Sometimes you pray for situations, pray for your family. The next person that will be stubborn and disrespect you in the morning is the one you shouted and name or his name more the most in the prayer. I remember those days, one of those days, when I finished praying for this, my sister, I woke up in the morning, I called her blah, blah, to come to church. She said she does not have time. I said, hey. She was in BS at that time. I was done praying. I said, come to church for a situation. Say, I don't think I have that time. I say, you don't have what time? I say, are you mad? I didn't know when I started losing it. Are you okay? If your name is your name. Now it was threat. Don't come to church. And I was like, what's wrong with this girl? This one that was shouting her name in the realm of the spirit yesterday. Maybe you are a husband. You finish praying for your wife, her family, her extended family. When you finish in the morning, your wife just look at you and then... stupid man. And you look at her mouth. You look at how it twisted. How you have the potency to tell God, let the mouth never come back normal again. But you couldn't do that. You get disrespected. As a pastor, you are praying for people, and the most stubborn person is the one you have been praying about. Now, this is not the first time I started praying for you. You prayed for them today, grew. And somebody came home one time and started making them to think wrongly. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, I was talking one time to some of these guys that rap some sort of in my office before the, but I couldn't have one of them. And one of them made a statement. They were wondering, you could see it in their face, how they were talking, more like, we didn't know this was the guy that's Prophet Simon. We didn't know this guy sound. You could just see it on their faces. And while I was trying to stop, they said, sir, please, can you continue talking? Now, I'm not sure that before they came to that place, they saw me like that. They probably, some sort of would have heard one or two things and etc. and were wondering what manner of a man he is until they stepped into the office. It's like that sometimes. People have a wrong idea of who we are. They heard about us from the wrong people. Are you listening to me? Until they came close and are wondering, is this the person? You know, I told you about Joyce. Joyce in church today. Joyce has even a close friend that has left the church. She's still in church. I remember when the person left church, she called me and said, sir, me, I will never leave her. Blah, 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 blah. God has kept me here. I said, no, you don't need to say it. You just need to ask. She said, I just want to be reminding you. You know, when she came to this church the first time, she came to my office. She was crying. I said, why are you like this? Some sort of. She said, I heard a lot of things about you and people want me not to come to church. And I said, I just want to come and see. And she came to see. And she was amazed. And I had to come to my office and say, I didn't know that this is you that they are describing. You are full of love. You are full of kindness. Blah, 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 blah. And we shook our hands and all. And she left. And said, in us, I remember she messaged me on Facebook and said, I pray a lot of people eyes get to be open so that they come to the knowledge of the truth through you. Hallelujah to Jesus. But before she came there, she had a perspective. She had heard about people. Listen, people will always be people. Do you understand? And sometimes we don't take this thing to heart because tomorrow we'll still be connected to them. God can still help them through us. I tell you the truth. That's why we don't take so much of what people do to heart. Like I said, seated here, I said it one Sunday, seated here are some people who have talked against other people before wrongly. Seated here in this service. That's why love sees from needs, not faults. So if they talk against us, we're like, probably they heard the wrong people. We don't take it to heart. I said, that nigger, he spoke wrongly about me. We're going to deal with him. No. He probably heard the wrong people. If he comes close, his heart will probably be changed. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. Some have heard the wrong things. You know, Pastor Peter messaged me one time. Say, sir, blah, 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 blah. Some people, blah, blah, blah. He heard some things and they're against you and blah, blah, blah. But, sir, it is making me stronger in believing you. We are going to change this system. We'll take over the city. And I said, it is well. You can ask him. I just wrote, it is well. Things like that don't move me. They don't move me. It doesn't matter who is speaking. It doesn't matter who is murmuring. You can't stop the force of the Holy Ghost. You are too small. You see, the city, we have prophesied it, we will see it. We will swallow up this city with the glory of God. Whether they like it or not. Nobody can determine the level of the impact we can make in this city. The Lord has told me. He said, the city is yours and I will take the city. Whether you agree or not, whether you say amen or not. I said to him, it is well. And when we tried to check and did the connection, it was somebody who had invited before for programs who did not even send an acknowledgement that I saw the letter and I cannot attend. Like two times. And when he sent the letter, his own letter, he now said in the letter, when he sent the letter, he said, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to start knowing you. I want us to have a working relationship. So I'm inviting you. You rather come to my meeting. And I said to the person that collected, I said, who collected the letter? I'm not a bad person, no, and I'm not full of anger. But I know when you are crossing your boundaries. I asked the protocols, who collected this letter? Who heard that thing he said? And one of them came and said, sir, I said, you collected the letter? I said, you now take it back. Return it back to the church. And tell them that I don't want a relationship. Nobody should ever bring a letter to me again. And they returned it back. And they said they are now in a war with us. Now, for somebody who had sent letter twice and you could not acknowledge, only for you to write and say you want to start a relationship with me, who are you? No pride. When I was born again, you were in the world dancing in a club. You see, in Christendom, there's what we call spiritual eldership. Are you listening to me? It's the truth. It's not pride. It's not pride. I started preaching from 16. Where were you that year? Hallelujah to Jesus. So we're not talking because we're children. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I may be young, but no, I'm not a child. In the things of God, I have tried. I can hit my chest anywhere. And I can boast by God's grace and say, I know to an extent. And I said, now, outside even scriptures, that is not how human beings are supposed to behave. Some of you have seen me in programs outside this church. I did not even go to minister. I only attended. Naturally speaking, my protocols don't want to even collect the letters. They don't even want me to go there. But when I see the letter, you see me just, I'll enter there and sit down. And before you know it, I'm out. Why did I go there? Not to preach, not for a name. Because I was what? Invited. Meaning I'm open to the body of Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. I didn't say the person that started that ministry What is his rank in the spirit? When was he born again? Blah, blah, blah. No questions like that. As long as I was invited, I will honor what? The invitation. Even if I don't agree with your doctrine, you see me there. Because you invited me. You know, I don't agree with your doctrine and you think I should be there. There's something nice, some sort of working in you. I will go. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I was speaking with him. I said, we're concluding that this is how these kind of people will go and be painting wrong pictures about us. And some of you, if you are not strong, you'll be believing those rubbish. Because they will not tell you this is what your pastor did. They would rather come in another dimension and be speaking out of bitterness. That is why anything we say you should do, if you complain, if you just complain, they will hit against it. In our church, they say we should not attend another church on a Sunday. What? I love your pastor, but why will he talk like that? I think your time there is over. You know, there are some kind of people that have this junk mentality. They think your time in an assembly should be over. I think my season in GCMI, rubbish. You'll be shocked when you get to heaven. All these things are man-made ideas. Man-made useless ideas. When you begin to get uncomfortable with the system because of your pride, the demon in your heart will now begin to tell you that your time is over. And you'll be thinking it's the Holy Ghost. Because you don't want to succumb to more discipline. If the Bible says we're supposed to perfect you, don't you think we ought to make you discipline? Create a lot of our guardians of discipline for you? How do you get perfected? Who gets perfected when we treat them casually as pastors? Who gets perfected? Say, I want to go home. Bye-bye. I want to come. I want to travel. Travel. Then you become disciplined. You become perfected. I am not your pastor until it comes to that point when it is very difficult. You know, listening to me looks like war and you listen. That is when you prove I'm your pastor. It is called submission. Submission. You submit, you put your will under control. You subject your will under control, under mastery of the Lordship of Christ through your pastor. And that's what the Bible says. Scriptures are given for correction. Sorry, for doctrine. Then it's a correction. Then it's a rebuke. Is it rebuke? Reproof, sorry. And another word for there can be rebuke. Then it says what? Instructions in righteousness. You see that? Oh, pastor teaches so nice. I love his doctrine till he said, don't move. Don't go nowhere. So, well, I have to go. Why did you leave the church? I left because the other day I was tired. And he said, I should stay. Why are they forcing somebody to do something outside his will? I mean, that is a child of God who... I'm not even saying that's a daughter of Prophet Simon. That's a child of God. You know, I always tell people, don't be putting, I am Simon, I am this, the son of... That's not what will make you be serious with God. What will make you be serious with God is that you are a son of God. You learn, you know to hear the spirit of God. There are some that have said, I'm a child of Prophet Simon. Now they've removed it. They've run away. They are not even here again. Ah, praise the Lord. I have to thank God I'm a daughter of Prophet Simon. Daughter of Prophet Simon was given an instruction to prove her daughterhood. And now, all we just saw was a proof that she was adopted. She was not. What is, do you understand? That's why you see us pushing you to God. Think about all of our systems there. Which one pushes you to me? None of our system here pushes you to me. Bible study, rehearsal, time for meetings for several departments, all of them are pushing you towards the word of God. Does anyone push you to me? I don't know everybody in this church. I don't have all of your contacts. I tried to have all of your contacts at one point. The church increased again. I don't have everybody's contact. I don't know all of you. Meaning, eternally, I will not always know everybody in this church. You know, yesterday during the campus crusade, I saw one of our members. I was shocked, I forgot him. I had to lie, is it lie? I had to speak by faith that I remember him. I said, hey, it's Victor. Hey, Victor, you are here? You are alive? He was shocked, he was like this. I said, no, of course I know you are my member. How are you? I didn't want him to ask, so he forgot me, and thank God he did not ask. I truly forgot that boy. And he used to do drama in this church. Very, very well. When I just saw him, all everything came back. The drama he has done, all the things, I just remembered everything immediately. Sometimes people message me on my WhatsApp to explain, who is Justina? Justina who? Sir Justina in Can, where, which one? Let me send a picture. So they said, are you sure? Okay, talk your problem. One time somebody wanted to sow a seed. I said, which Victoria? I am Victoria in TGC. I said, was there ever a Victoria in TGC? That name though is not like the TGC name. Who is Victoria now in TGC? Angel, okay. But before her, it has been a long time without a Victoria in this ministry. So I was wondering, who is this Victoria? She explained, she now says that to cut the long story short, she now sent a picture. In the picture now, she's lying like a mom. But when I zoomed the face close, I say, yes, I remember. She was one of my very strong members on campus. Since I've called her name, I will not say what happened. Even though I would have told you one of the testimony. But she did one strong obedience one time. A very strong obedience that most people will not do. I commanded her. I instructed her. I said, break out! She left immediately. It was very... The guy tried all his best. Break out! She broke out with tears. Say, sir, I am successful today. By God's grace, I'm doing well. I just want to appreciate you. Blah, blah, blah. Boom! And I saw $1 million. I said, that's good. Now, if she was with that young man, I don't think I... So sorry. God bless him wherever he is. He's still a son of God. But you understand what I'm trying to say? I think a young man was trying to send me a request recently on Facebook. He's still a young man. He has not married. That simply means she would have not married too. Now she has 2 children, she told me. She said, God has blessed me with businesses. Okay, I want to be partner with you. I just want to start with this little. I said, okay, let me see the little. I saw the little. I said, okay, this is little. No problem. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. The naysayers will talk. They'll always be talking. You think it's easy for somebody to stand success? You look at a young man like this and what God is doing with his life, and you have been there and you don't understand what is really happening and you are just looking at it. You think it's easy to stand success? All of you sitting down looking at me, you think it's of your own will? Say, I'm just pitying them. That's why I'm coming to church. Go and pity another church and go there. It's not you. It's God that brought you here. And you can't do nothing. You saw plenty of places before you came here. It's God that aligned you to come here. We did not lobby you to come here. You know, one time I had a young man who came to my office to ask me questions of how to make ministry work. Especially that he wants to start on campus. Is it... Well, the pastor in town doing well with his family, but he wants to start with campus ministry. So he said, how are you able to facilitate people in Uni Accra and BSU? How do you do that? I've tried it. It didn't work at all. And I just taught him one or two things. Then after a while, I heard that he was telling people some wrong things about me. I did not say anything because he had come to my office like Nicodemus by night. And of course, I don't need to even swear for him. Everything I've told him, if he tries it, it will not work. Maybe you want to come and collect my secrets. These are not only the secrets. There is grace accompanying the secrets. Go and do the same thing. You think it's easy to gather people in, like we did in the GCC. Go and call for a meeting. During public holiday, thank you. We did not even do it when school was on session. If not, that place will fool everywhere to outside. We'll not leave fool inside. Because nobody was in that CHS who said. I really was not happy. When they told me the news, they said, Pastor, people are not in the hostel. And we really planned. They wanted to go and stay. You know the way we do on our castle here? They will stay at the hostel and just be carrying people on one straight line. But nobody was in all of the hostels. So now they have to be watching in Father Copper. They say, sir, I'm at a point. I'm forcing people into the meeting. You are going home. I'm telling you, we've seen things like that. You are going home. They say, who are you? Why are you going to? GCC is happening. No, my father said, no, wait for GCC first. How they convince the people will shock you even as a man of God. You know, one time one of my boys, I finished a program in Union, he went and stopped the lecturer's car. After the program, he stopped the lecturer's car. He said, sir, my pastor has need of this. My pastor has need of this. Because he saw me touch someone and said, Jesus, say, horse. You know that horse thing in the Bible that I taught? Normal gospel, the master has need of it. He carried his faith out. My protocol. He said, sir, my pastor has need of your car. He's going towards Yado Villa. That man is supposed to go to somewhere far from Gado Villa. They now came and parked and waited for me. I entered the car like they rented car. You know, see, I got so pained when I finished because I was creating gists. With the two lecturers at the front, I was gisting, we're gisting. Not knowing that it was a forceful situation. They forced these people to carry me. When they dropped me in my house, I said, okay, so pay them. He said, no, sir, it's free. I said, I don't understand. What happened? Did they just want to carry me? He said, no, sir, I told them the master, my pastor has need. I held his hand, I said, come here. You said what? He said, yes, sir, I just spoke in faith and they stopped. Like you taught us. I put my hand on my head. I say, these boys have killed me. Hallelujah to Jesus. The people did not complain. They dropped me in my house. And I told them, next time, don't do it again. This first time, you have seen that it works. Don't do it next time again. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Glory to God forevermore. Some of these guys, they truly don't have an idea of what happens there. That's why you don't take their whatever they say to heart. They don't truly know what is happening here. Pastor Chris said something one time that blessed me. He said, I don't get offended with people because they don't know me. If they know me, they'll love me. So whatever they've heard from out there, it's not me. The day they get to know me, they'll what? Love me. If not the most impactful, he's one of the most impactful ministers on the earth today. Beyond all the criticism on him. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? So you must get to the other side. My emphasis tonight is what? In the second service, get blocked, subjected in this spiritual school called the church. A lot of things, there's advantage, so much advantage in the church. So much advantage. You come every day, you listen to fresh words from the Spirit. We fire you up to go and pray. We gear you up to go and keep on pursuing destiny. Isn't it? And where you are confused, we give you instructions. We guide you. You hear the voice of God through our lips sometimes in confusion. Even though it's not supposed to be like that eternally. Everybody is supposed to know the voice of God. Isn't it? Every one of you is supposed to know how to hear God. Isn't it? But at that point in your life when you get confused, when you cannot hear God, God sends a pastor to step in. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. That's why most times, some of you come to my office, I will ask you. Some of you used to be shocked. I said, what did God tell you? You see me ask you the question purposely. Because I cannot be hearing God for all of you. That's my job description. What is one of your jobs as Prophet Simon? I hear God for the whole church. I mean, how? That's not God's design. So you see me ask you. Some of you have had the impetus to come to me and say, God gave me a wife. The only thing I do is to vet. I'm sure I've sent some of you out from my office, but I've vetted some of you. Some from the doorstep, you see them not being able to enter the office. Come inside now. Say, sir, I don't know whether I should say this now. You just know it's relationship. You hear, what do you want to say? Sir, I heard that you are pushing some people in your office. So I don't know that you're pushing me too. You hear, what do you want to say? Sir, God say, well, there's my wife. Get out of this place. They already said it around you. out of this, you see they're running the mission. You know, so if you allow people, right, they will just be flowing in a very stupid direction. One time I was interviewing people in School of Ministry. Our School of Glory is almost done. We'll soon start School of Ministry. Okay, the next batch. I was interviewing people in School of Ministry. And I asked them, I said, you see this relationship saga, let me test something. How many of you here have a crush in this church? The boys. All of them stood up. Tell me your crush. They started calling crush. All these crushes were calling past their power. I won't mention their names because I know now their heart is doing. Some of them that were in that meeting. He's doing. Pastor, please, I beg you in the name of Jesus. Pastor, please. Then there was one young one. I said, who is your crush? He looked at his friend. His friend looked at him. He smiled. Wow, what an opportunity to let this thing out. Before he even mentioned, the friend mentioned it. When his friend mentioned it, they now mentioned his friend's own. So I got the two of them, they are crushed through the friend. If you hear what they call, where would that ever start from? They are the kind of people that will sit down and say, Pastor, can somebody younger marry a senior? They are the kind of people that will send that kind of question to us. Look at what you are dreaming about. Somebody who has finished school. You are still a student. Your crush is somebody who has finished school. Because the person is fine. That's what you see in your dream. And if you are here under the sound of my voice, be very careful. There are some things that logic alone will tell you back off. Back off. What you are looking for is bigger than you. I know you are saying, God, give me this mountain. Not in this case. Not in this case. Okay, I think there's a question now here. Anytime I teach, I like to answer questions. I'm looking at possible questions. Somebody will be like, sir, so do you mean that? I'm sure somebody will raise that question. Some people think out of the box. Pastor, do you mean that if somebody is a graduate and I'm in 200 level and I graduate, I can't marry her? You can marry her. Graduate first. Graduate first. All graduates are graduates. If you like, as a lady, when a guy comes, ask him, when did you graduate? You are a graduate, is a graduate, and I say, when did you graduate? Because I can't marry my junior. See, you are on your own. Or your. Firstly, he's senior you. It's just you are privileged to enter school before him. You don't know that our generation, people did not used to enter school very early. Our own generation, millennials. You see some of the millennials in school with some of you. You see one brother, he does not talk. You go out playing, you just see him just holding his Bible. Nothing concerning with you people. He's even doing business and doing school. When people are shouting, nothing concerning him. Talking, nothing concerning him. He's just there with his small beards, looking at all of you like children. He doesn't talk in class. He's always concentrating. He just wants to finish. Then most of the time, they are friends with lecturers. You see your classmates shaking lecturer and they are talking very maturely. Probably he told the lecturer when he graduated from secondary school. The lecturer said, that's when I graduated too. And they became friends. But the Gen Z are playing everywhere. You will see that even to ask anybody out in the department, he will not ask. He'll just be looking at everybody like children. He can't even imagine himself asking anybody out. Because he has, in fact, some of them have wives. A wife. I remember those days in Remedias. We used to have somebody after Remedias. There's a man who had two children with a wife. Was a student. Two children. You hardly even figure out. Just that when you look at him, you know he's a matured person. He had two children. We're cosmic. We're talking maturely. Of course, those times, we all were mature. That's not even... There was one with white hair. My neighbor was a security man. I don't know if he's still a security man in BS. You remember that man that used to help people enter the class? He's still there, right? He studied law. His son currently should be like a lieutenant colonel in the military. He has grandchildren. At that time, he was studying law. So that kind of student now. That's why one day he was counseling me. He thought I was this kind of nonchalant children. He said, I hope you don't disturb your parents for money. I just want to teach you wisdom. You see this yam, buy it plenty. Boil it with oil. Or if you have money, add egg. I'm beating. Don't be disturbing. I say, sir, come and see my kitchen. Is the yam the one to kill me in this house? Come and see. He will tell me, I promise you one thing out of everything I have. Anytime there is no food, enter my kitchen and carry yam. He did not say I should carry anything. No. He said I should carry only yam. You know, yam is like a present help in times of need. You don't need oil or anything, even salt, except you have salt. If you cannot buy salt, boil it and chop it. They don't eat yam, they chop yam. It's as I'm saying, if somebody saying hallelujah back there, he's just giving God praise. We thank God for yam. I know some of you want me to mention something. I will not mention. Pastor mentioned that thing. I will not mention it. Because that thing is becoming too much. The pastor called Gary now. Gary. You have eaten Gary today. I hope Dr. Ankele is not eating that thing too much. Because you will not start seeing this lens again. You'll be doing like this. I'll be saying they should clean the lens. You know, I was actually forced to stop Gary. One of my neighbors, kind neighbor, tall, fair, beautiful lady. She's an Idoma lady. Those days, and I didn't have a crush on her. School of ministry student. Are we together? Yes. She used to date one pastor like that. Those days, I'll see them together. They were so wonderful together. Anytime she see me with Gary, Simon, my child, come here. I'll come close. She'll collect the Gary, fling it away. She'll not carry. Yes. Oh, there will be war. Oh my God. I knew there was something better for me. She will carry her bowl, cleaner bowl and spoon, and soak another curry for me, remove those rubbish that they say I should not be removing. She'll put sugar, she will now felch me plenty. And say, if you are not okay, come and do another one. Then she will add me beans. She will now say she will enter her room and eat it. If you see her room, very clean room. Our own very one kind. The same compound, but the room is the difference. I will sit down in a conducive environment. I will eat. You will not be one. I'm preaching to me. Don't be eating curry. You are a fine boy. Your mother will not be happy if one day she sees that your eye are not working well. Are you hearing me? I'll say, yes, ma. Almost saying, yes, mommy. I know I was shouting the manders. I was eating very well. Say, you know your uncle is not a good person. I'll say, I know, ma. I know. He likes women too much. Yes, ma. Even me, he has asked me, do I agree, ma? In fact, I was the one that let it out that he had a child and two children in the village. Nobody knew. Very cute guy. When he was asking a lady out in my compound, I timed the lady. When he finished, I said, what did he tell you? Say, I don't know why he's always disturbing me. I said, don't mind him. See this picture in my phone. Look at it. She looked at it. I said, who did you see there? It's him. Who do you think is with him? I don't know. He said he's here to marry. I said, hey, he's here to marry. I can call his mother now. The mother used to send me foodstuff in school very well. He's more like a step uncle. Is there anything like step uncle? He's the step brother of my father. My grandfather's last wife. My father, grandfather married almost 10 wives to 11 wives. I know you'll be shocked. You know, one day my father was driving me. He said, Simon, do you know that your grandfather has over 10 wives? I said, Jesus Christ. He said, I don't know me too. Why he have that kind of plenty wife? He had money. He didn't know what to do with money. They say he used to be the strongest man in the village. You can imagine. That was when it dawned on me that my grandfather had over 10 wives. And his own mom was the last wife. She was so young. And she gave birth. You know, she even greets my father very well. So when you see, you know, when you see your stepson and you can't help it, good afternoon, sir. You know? And she has a boy, her firstborn. He was married with two children. You know, in the village, there's no official marriage. You just see, they'll come and talk, and celebrate themselves, and that's all. And she had two children. Certainly, the last child she had, the last boy she had, they say that boy has married and had two children. When I've not smelled marriage, you know, that was an atrocity to me. He used to call me uncle. My uncle is calling me uncle. But he has two children. I said, this one too have two children. Then I showed her the picture. She said, Jesus Christ. And I was contemplating. I said, hey, that would be the greatest mistake of your life. Guess what? She became my first member in BSU. Dina. My first member in BSU. And I converted her to the church. He hated me for that. When we changed company, he wanted to try that with her. And that one already knew. So, you see, I was not eating garri. I was always giving God praise. And anytime I want to eat the garri, it is arranged with milk. Sometimes she has this cabin biscuit. She will put plenty inside the garri for me. She just fetch them and pour it inside. She said, I want your eye to be clear. This is your fine eyes. Let it be clear. And when her boyfriend comes with that, she will come here and say, see this fine boy, is my child in BSU. Well, I didn't care. As long as I was eating everything I needed to eat, I didn't have a problem, one single problem. One I didn't have. I was preaching that time, but I didn't care. I was still a child. And I needed food. And my mother was not around. So I need to have another mommy in this place. And I ate very well. She stopped me. And I'm stopping some of you who are champions of garri. It will blind you. It's not right. But you get the point I'm trying to make with all this. Are you here tonight? There's a way we think. As millennials, right? Is that what they call us? Millennials. Not Gen Z. There's a way these Gen Z people think. So unbelievable. Even in marriage, there are problems. Even in marriages. And I'm trying to remove your mind from that rubbish. They don't have forbearance. They don't have tenacity. They are the women that want to tell their husband is their mind. I am talking to, I will talk. The Bible says submitting to each other in the Lord. I promised myself to show you one scripture about this thing before we close. And I will show you. Titus 2, 3 to 4. Let me put it in my concordance because I don't want to forget the real word, the root word. Media, I say people should try to have a concordance so that I'll be showing them. Let them not think we are forming root words. Try to have a concordance so that we can be putting it up here. Titus 2 and 3, right? Are you sure I am where I ought to be? Maybe the rendition. Give me the old KJV. And give me verse 4. Okay, let me read from verse 3. Don't worry, let me read from verse 3. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior. You know, he was teaching something here. Aged men should be sound in faith, but I want to major on women today. He said that the old men should teach the young men something too. But let me start with the aged women. He said, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things. For that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands. To love their husbands. The next part says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded and all, and leave young men. I said I will not talk about young men tonight. I want to major on these young women. Go back to verse 4. The word for love here in scripture is philio. Everybody say philio. Philio. It means to be fond of. Teach the young women to be fond of their husbands. to always want to be excited around. You know what it means to be fond of a man or to be fond of somebody? You're always around him. You're always gumming your body out. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why women that are stiff. God says a man needs a woman that always comes around to say, honey. That plays with him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What's happening? I see. People are looking at my wife. I saw you looking there. I thought, okay, no, let God speak to everybody. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You come around your husband. You are fond of him. You always want to make sure that everything about your husband is okay. You know, one time when we wanted to get married, we met one of my mentors. He said to my wife, he said, are you ready to take care of this man? He said, because preachers need to be taken care of. They fight a lot of wars outside. They have a lot of problems in church. When they come back, they should not have another problem. The woman should give them heaven on earth. He said to her, are you ready? Take care of this man. He's your baby. He's their pastor. I know, as I said it now, she just remembered. She's trying her best. She's trying. She can do more, although, but she's trying. To be fond of. Respect. You know, they say, let the man understand the woman. It's not true. It's the woman that will walk to understand the man. I was waiting for your reaction. Now I'm ready for you. I knew when I teach this, some of you will be like, Jesus Christ, what the heck is happening to our pastor? Who is the helper here? Huh? You must seek to understand your husband. Some of you want your husband to study you. You don't even have a subject yet that we should study. Some of you. Honey, what's wrong with you? Why are you angry? Why are you not talking? Talk to me, honey. Is there any problem? Any problem? All right, have a good day. You are going. You are giving up that easy. Now you are back. All right, tell me the problem. No, go. You wanted to go now. Go. Go. Oh, God forbid, bad thing. Didn't you read in the Bible? The Bible says, husband, love your wife. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. I think as Christ is loving you, he used to come to you and say, Pastor Peter, oh, you are very fine. No, you ever see the Holy Ghost did that? See the way he's loving us. He that he loves, he chastises. Okay. Oh, that overwhelming, reckless love. You are in trouble now. Reckless love is saying you can do it. You can do it. What a reckless love it did. You can go through it, boy. That's why the Bible calls it father's love. We are kings. We love you like kings. How do we love you as kings? We come to you. We teach you the word of God. When you need something, we help you get it. There's problem. I didn't know this teaching would be this hard to comprehend. Or is it? You know, you people like people that will lie to you as pastors. I'm not one of them. When God gives you a husband, try to start understanding him. Imagine as a preacher, I'm understanding the Bible. I'm seeking to know deeper things. And I'm seeking to know my wife. I put her, Mama T 101, introduction. She's a woman that come from Abuja. Her father is the first son from Benue. Blah, blah, blah. She does not like rice. Beans sometimes. Sometimes when the sun is shining brighter, she wants palm oil rice. What kind of rubbish is that? What kind of rubbish is that? Rather, she should seek to understand me. You know, now I'm proud when I come to the house and I'm saying they should cook something. She will now say, I'll be here and say, don't cook it plenty. You may not even eat it when you are done. Now I'm excited she knows me. There was a time that when I don't eat something, she would almost scatter the whole house.
You mean me to someone to cook something and now you're not eating it? What kind of sermon was this? You made me to suffer. I went through a lot.
I see. We are just starting on. Then you see me meet her and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll say it 3 times. I'm sorry. Then when she agreed, I'll say, I knew you agree. Bye bye. I'll go and sleep. A time came, she now became strong. She would just finish. I'll say, I don't like the food again. You say, now she's not angry. Why did you know it? She's like, what is wrong with the soup? Now she wants to know what is truly wrong with the soup. I will not say there's something. There are some of you that cannot have the mind to ask your wife what is wrong with the soup. My wife has given me the privilege now to ask her what is wrong with the soup. There was a time she was angry, but now she will say, is something so? In fact, sometimes when she has made a mistake, sometimes she will now say, this thing is too much, but. She'll be watching my mouth. When I just put it, when I turn to her, she said, this thing is too much, but I'll say, yes, it is. She said, just manage it now. Can you manage it? When I say no, she's entering the kitchen again. When I say yes, it's settled. No, I'm not telling you a lie. Agatha lives in my house now. She has seen me telling my wife to go and make me food by almost 1 a.m. before. The last time I ate Indomie, it was after 1. I just came outside. I was talking to one member. While we were talking, I said, Mama G, say, yes, sir, make me Indomie. I did not hear bang, 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 bang. I did not hear, After 15 or 10 minutes, food was served. It was served at where I was making the call, with water. And I said, thank you. And she left. And I started eating my food. The Bible says, older women, teach the younger women. Is it just like your mother, Sarah, called her husband, Lord? Some of you, if they start teaching submission, you want to choke. It's as if air is not enough. Oxygen is not so. Your esophagus will just be pumping too much. You hate submission. You hate it. Because some of you grew up in homes where your mother jack your husband, your father's, they used to jack your father's shirt like this. Where is that money? Bring the money or you are not going out today. Mama Chibuzo, leave me. Bring the money, Baba Chibuzo. You grew up in homes like that. So you are ready. In fact, when the man says, I like you, you have seen where you'll be holding. So this one is neck, it's going fine. If I draw it too much, I know I'll draw the neck. Repent. Seek to understand your husband. You are the one that will seek. Stop all those children, Gen Z behavior. When God gives you a man, start learning him. John 1:1. Well done. Men are hearing you. Be shouting. They'll be timing you. Not going near that one. She say during that service. Better pretend. Pretend like you are a good woman. So that when they marry you, you can show yourself. Let me show you one scripture. Is it Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Give me the NLT. NLT. For wives, this means submit your husband as to the Lord. Next part of scripture. For your husband is the head of his wife. As what? Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. Husband here is compared to what? Christ. Between Christ and the wives, who should understand Christ and the church? Who should seek to understand each other? Are we not the one praying to understand Jesus Christ? That the eyes of our heart be enlightened so that we may know. As a woman, you try to understand your husband. Years ago, I taught my wife that's why I have peace. I told her, I'm not this Gen Z man. No. I'm a millennial. So seek to understand me. You are my helper, not my trouble. My helper. I told her, pastoring is hard. Don't come and make life harder for me. Else, I'll run away. I'll just leave you and the baby and change house. Thank God she's full of wisdom. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. All of you here, these are things you should know before marriage. Else you will scatter your home. Some of you are ready for war. You just have a boyfriend now. Or what they call them. What is this Christian word of the boyfriend? You are in courtship. They say, what they call them now? Your fiance or fiancee, whatsoever. And look at the trouble you are giving him. Be warned. Now he's calling you 3 times to apologize for one thing. In fact, I have a friend. They blocked his line. When he was telling me to pray for, I called his name, I said, Apostle, is it you we are talking with now? He said, man of God, see, let me just be. Can I be weak before you? I said, be weak before me. Can I just be myself before you, sir? I said, I pretended. When he finished, I said, Apostle, this is not you. This small girl cannot make a whole apostle be talking this vulnerable. Rise up! She has blocked him everywhere. She doesn't want to talk to him. Everywhere. Because of one correction. Gen Z people. I said, Apostle, that small girl. I said, Apostle, see, leave all these children. Go for our mate. I advise him. I said, go for our mate. Forget all these people. Now, his option is a lady who has a child. He found peace with the woman. Started talking. He saw everything he was looking for. She now said, I have to tell you something. I have a child. He now messaged me. I said, what the hell? What happened? Is she giving you peace? Is she, all this one that don't have children, are they not a problem? At least we know she is fruitful. Go ahead and multiply, brother. I said, continue the work of creation. Just make sure that loser that is not with her now, his number is blocked. And continue with her. Are you listening to me? I always tell Christian brother, this rubbish of my wife, I'm untouched, I'm tear over. My wife must be tear over. All those stupidity, you end up marrying problem. There's such a thing as 5 foolish virgins. Now I'm not capitalizing and saying all of you who have not been, have not had any affair before, should go and have because they are foolish virgins. No. If you do that, you are a foolish person. Be yourself, but be wise. There can be 5 wise virgins, but there are 5 foolish what? Virgin. I want you to just understand that you can be a virgin and be a very foolish person. So not every tear over is a blessing. Like some of our brothers think. Who has 1,000 naira notes here? Or 500, any amount of money, give me. I want the same amount everywhere. Let me do an analogy. Just give me 2 differently. Another one. Hey, it's even good. This one is dirty. This is neat. This is dirty. If I ask Mama T which one you want, I know she will pick this. She hates any money that has stain. So she will never pick this. So outside you, choose the one you like. Who doesn't mind? What this one can do, this one can do. There is no way that this one can enter. That this one, even with this court, will not enter. There's no problem this one can solve that this problem cannot solve. See, in Christ, your sins are forgiven. Are you listening to me? What am I trying to say? By the mercies of God, I'm not advocating that everybody should go and become a foolish person and defy themselves and etc. But see, in Christ Jesus, you cannot separate the use of a virgin and a non-virgin. They are all precious before God. Their value is the same before God. Are you listening to me tonight? Glory to God forevermore. Very important. Understand this. I was teaching people one time in school, just that you people did not answer me well. I said, if for instance, God brings to you, I know he will say yes because he's married. God brings to, can I have 4 of you come? Come. God brings, come linguists. Are you not a man? Come here. All right, stand here. Look at the congregation. Now listen to me carefully. If God asks four of you, I want you to give me sincere answers. There's a lady who was HIV and AIDS. She's an HIV and AIDS patient. One of them was HIV from birth. The mom had it and gave it to her. The second one was HIV by misbehavior. But two of them now are born again, and the call of God is on their life. In fact, all of them have a singing ministry that will complement whatever God is doing in your lives. If two of them are standing here, no matter how beautiful, how respectful and nice they are, if God says you should marry any of them, now I want you to tell me the truth and not lie. Who will agree to marry either of them? Raise your hand up. Eh? You know what this guy said? You say, "Oh, marry her and bring her to me, so that I'll do what? I'll lay my." Oh my God! Do you know that's actually faith? Yes, that's the part of faith. You know why we're going to marry? Because we know God can heal them. I know a person who married somebody who he thinks was AA. But when he married, the person was AS. They had a child already. The child was okay, AA. Now, he's scared. But they've had now more than 3 children. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because he said something to himself. He said, "I did not purposely go and marry AS. The lady thought she was AA because she did a test, but the hospital did not do it properly. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So he said, "God, you will not punish me for that." Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That's faith. And that's how it is here. He said he will marry. I'm not so sure whether he's saying the truth, but I believe he's the truth. He said he will marry under one condition. He will bring her to me. The two of them did not raise their hand. They have been 100% sincere. A pastor, no matter what God say, God is on his own. It's very difficult. But I tell you, it is very possible that God will bring a lady like that to your path. You are shouting, "I trust the Lord, my Father, for what?" We'll be like, "Woo! He trusts us, man. Bring that lady over here. Let me see if he really trusts us." And when the lady comes, we're wondering, where is the trust? Is it possible for God to bring a woman like that to your path? Yes! Because he probably sees you as a champion. A champion of faith. Are you listening to me? Meanwhile, when you want to marry as a young man, when you see a lady dedicated to church, to God, dedicated to the work of God, and the Lord says that's your wife, see, there are two things I advise. If you hear it spiritually, vet it physically. Just go and do tests. And some of you, if you are wise, you will know. Ask somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows her genotype. Or sometimes you can just jokingly, you know, these days when you are chatting with somebody and they say, "What is your genotype, sir?" You just know where they are going to. Say, AA, that's all. Universal. As long as you know that one, it's okay. Stop asking useless questions. What's your body count? Are you okay? What do you want to use that one to do? How many men have you slept with? How many women have you slept with? I just want to know. It's not for anything, though. Yeah, yeah, lie, lie. When they tell you now, you know, message again. Sometimes good women come our way. I hope they will not drag me with this one, though. But I'm saying the truth. When I wanted to marry my wife, I didn't ask her that question. She knows. She said, I didn't ask her. I'm sure one time, there was a time I think she was wondering. No questions like that. Me, I was not even expecting her to ask me. And even though I was a victim, if you ask me, I'll not answer you. I'll just tell you, come and test me. Am I good to go? If you don't want, move. But I'm sure she figured out through my message that I was intact. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I never asked that question. It's unnecessary. Not to get married, you're asking your wife a lot of questions. How many people have you dated? I just want to know so that I'll know how to work with you. Tell me all of your life experiences and encounters, especially the sexual encounters. What and what have you encountered? Please don't miss anything. Everything. Let me know you in and out. Can you bear that? Are you God? You can bear it. Remember a man that climbed the mountain, a comedy, and came down and heard that that was his wife. When he heard the Magana, he ran for his life. She said, "You are not my sister, whatever. God said you are my wife." So, okay, if God has said, who am I? Just to let you know, I'm HIV positive. I've had so abortion. When he prayed one tongues, when they check him later, he was not there again. He ran for his dear life. Are you listening to me tonight? And meanwhile, if you have the opportunity as a lady, don't misbehave. Are you hearing me? Now that you know the word of the Lord, don't say prophet said, even though you misbehave. Like, if you have the opportunity right now, don't. It is more profiting. God's will is that you don't even have the experience at all. Do you know why marriages are failing? A woman has had so much experience. She now comes to this innocent man that does not know his left from his right in that realm. This innocent man. You are not telling him, You are not doing this thing. He's like, what are you saying? All my life has been on the altar. I've been praying for revival. What are you doing? Which Magana is this? You have to what? You are only just 26. How comes you know what satisfaction is from no satisfaction? How did you get here? Who satisfied you before? We thought it's the word of God that should satisfy you. For this man, Jesus is his satisfaction. He has eaten the bread of life. Before he even started, he is satisfied. But you've had a lot of experience. Iron, wood. All the wicked men of the world. People who have no emotions. Now you come to this tender looking man. And that's why it's important you don't have the experience. Have it first with your husband. So that whatever you know is the highest realm you ever reach. You and your husband. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? As you are laughing, be learning. That's the disadvantage of knowing these things before time. Else you start asking us stupid questions for relationship summit. Questions that we don't even know how to answer. You ask me as your pastor, where did I know that kind of thing from? Do you know there are questions they've asked here that we just fold it and just throw the thing on? Because even me don't have the answer. You know, I never knew that pastoring involves asking those kind of questions. Until one day a couple asked me a question. How does this, I had to call my wife. And I remember that time she's not even my wife. And I said, how will she even know? I said, just forget about it. Lord, what will I do? It's Google. I had to go to Google. I say, Google, if this is happening, what should be the recommendation? In a Christian way. Give me an answer in a Christian way. When God will give me, I was not talking to them like a champion. So, you see, these things are not a problem at all. What you need to do, it was from Google. They were so blessed. Prophet, sir, if this and that and blah, 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 what should happen? Check me out. How do you think I know those kind of things? We will solve a lot of problems by listening to the Holy Spirit. There will be a lot of trials, especially for men. Satan will tell you that you are not at the disadvantage. He will say women are more at the disadvantage. Don't listen to the devil. You are destroying yourselves. See, most men that cheat on their wives, they were not faithful before marriage. You've had like five ladies, so level. Now they say only one soup, be eating this food every day. You can't bear it. Because you are used to different people. Your brain will be conformed to that way of doing things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You can't bear it. I hope you are learning something beautiful tonight. And get it, even if your wife has no power against you, God has power against you. Finally, you go to hell. And a lot of things with you will not be well upon the face of the earth. Because your path is not straight with God. The last part of the scripture. Give me the last verse. Call it a day. The last verse. Is it 30 something? Okay. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. I'm saying this because some women, when they are meant to fear them. The word respect them is from the root word that means reverence, which means fear. It is women that should fear their husband. See, as I'm changing the timber. So women, who are you? Are you the one, is your husband supposed to fear you? No. You are the one that's supposed to what? Fear your husband. You know, one time I was joking with my wife. I saw a link online. The woman was saying how what she does for the husband. One side caught my attention. We used to have a problem with this laundry thing, but thank God we have machine. But now that we have machine, I'll be telling her, pack my clothes and go and put in the laundry. Now it's static. Those days I'll be forcing her. I say, Pastor Simon, do that one yourself now. I say, do it for me now. Do it for me. Do it for me. You know, I'm a man of God. I'm praying for the souls. You know, you just be packing it and putting it. And I saw this video. The woman, they told the man, why do you love your wife? He said, interesting. My wife does my laundry. She has never allowed me to do laundry for more than 6 years. She's the one that styles me, buy my clothes for me. All my dress, she's the one that buys for me. I say, hey. She said another thing, and I copy the link. You know, when you are married, you speak to your wife through another people. Pastor Emma will understand what I'm trying to say. Pastor Andrew and Pastor Kim will understand. And I send the link to her. In fact, when you are married, when your wife loves certain posts, you'll be disturbed. They say something about marriage. You now see your wife love there. You now say, we have a meeting this night. Why did you love? Is that how you think too? When I said it to my wife sent me another link. You know, I did not know that. The man too. They now ask the woman, why do you love you? I did not know the woman talk her own. The woman now talk too much. She talk too much. She caused problem for a lot of men. If you hear what that woman said, it was unbelievable. My husband, I said, shut up! Before I opened the link, I just told her, let's pretend we didn't send this link to each other. Because what happened there was too much. My husband done this for me. My husband for me. My husband. But forget about those links. Respect your husbands. I know my own place where I'm lacking. I'm working on it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? My wife loved me very well. Hey, my wife. Hey, my God. One night like that. I think Agatha passed, but you did not notice. She called me to come and sit down. When I sat down at the table, she was telling me how much I'm fine and how much she loved me. She said, yeah, ask her if I'm lying. She called me when I came out. She said I should sit down on the table. When I sat down, she now said she was looking at my hand, telling me how much I'm fine and how much. I said, hey, stop now. It's too much. Stop that. I have to pray tonight. Stop that. I don't want to be distracted. She told me, please, Pastor Samuel, you are fine, eh? See? I better go. Take it easy. We give God all the praise. All the praise. All the worship. And I left her there. With whatever love that was doing her that night. I left her. And I went and prayed. I went to sought the Lord for you. Are you excited? I sought the Lord for you. Yes, I sorted the Lord for you and I left. I had no gratification in the. I came straight into the realm of the spirit because the flesh profited nothing. Bow your heads and pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Go ahead and thank the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed assurance, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my footman in the fire, time after time. Born of the Spirit. Washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. And I trust in God, my Savior of the world, who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior of the world, who will never fail. Who will never fail. I trust the Lord, and He had, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He had, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He had, and He answered.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.